powerful message. And our attitude today is, again, looking at what God is saying. Today, we're looking at humility. We're looking at meekness as another one. Jodah, I know I forgot, but we're going to go on. Our attitude of what it ought to be: blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Humble is another word that could be expressed as meekness. The attitude that ought to be a part of a Christian's life, a believer's life, is one of meekness, one of humility. We're all guests at Jesus' spiritual retreat now. He's up on the mountain. The disciples have followed him. They're sitting close by, actually standing close by. Jesus is sitting. And down off the side of the mountain, there's a great crowd of people that are there that are looking for something. They need something. They've heard about Jesus. They know his power, his abilities. And so they're seeking something to be a part of their lives: healing, restoration, health, assurance, all those kind of things. So Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and he's telling them, this is the attitude. This is the way you are to be. And the disciples are looking over the crowd that are seeing the great needs of his people. And as Jesus goes through the Sermon on the Mount, he drives home the point that his disciples are to be caring for those people as well. We're there, the large crowd. They're hearing the teaching and wanting something to be in their life. They're looking for Jesus to intervene in their life. Now, as the crowd is seeking Jesus, they want him to help them. They want him to help them deal with the day-to-day problems of their life. You remember Matthew 3, as Amy reminded us, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We understand. I cannot, but God can. God will take a nobody. He will make them somebody, so that anybody can hear about the message of hope. Remember the song we used that Sunday as we talked about that? We're nobodies. Moses was a nobody until he became somebody at the burning bush. And he was sent with a message back to Pharaoh and to Egypt to carry that message home. We understand. I cannot, but God can. He said, "Blessed are those that are mourned, for they will be comforted." When a person comes to God to be comforted, when we ask the right questions, he provides the answers that will assure us that we can be used in his worship and his service. God will give them comfort and rest. God will also use them to comfort others. Because of what God did in my life, I can tell you what he can do in your life out of experience. Out of a personal knowledge, I can tell you, God gives comfort and rest. God will also use them in comfort for other people. I cannot, but God can. And then Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." The world's view of humility is not very good. Most people misunderstand and misapply humility, or meekness, that we will use a lot today. Humility and meekness is not weakness. It is not a lack of strength or a lack of power. Our culture views humility as weakness. A meek person is seen as a person who does not have much value. A meek person does not have much for themselves. A meek person will not advance in life. They will not do what it takes to be successful, strong, powerful person. The meek or humble are often a poor person. But Jesus has promised what the psalmist promised in Psalm 37:11. "But the humble will inherit the land and will enjoy abundant prosperity." The humble, the meek will inherit. The meek in the kingdom of God will not be poor and useless people. Humility is seen as passive in our world today. A humble person will not stand up for themselves. They will be pushed around and they will be always taken advantage of. That's the way our culture views humility and meekness. A meek person is thought to operate with that que sera, sera attitude. What will be, will what will be. The meek or the humble person does not have what it takes to rock the boat, to get out front, to be used. They do not have the courage and strength to rock the boat, and they're always sitting in the back, and they're going to take what's left over. Peter reminds believers, don't let beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles or wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather what is in the heart, the imperishable quality of gentle and quiet spirit, which is great worth in God's sight. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Also, the humble will inherit the earth, we're told. Jesus promised the meek or the humble will inherit the earth. You listen to what Paul told Titus. Remind them to submit to rulers and authorities, to obey and be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to avoid fighting, to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people. For we too were once foolish and disobedient and deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So then, having been justified by His grace, we become heirs with the hope of eternal life. Titus 3, 1 through 7. There is that reality. We don't have to be big and flashy. We can be humble, have a meek heart, and allow God to use us through His salvation in our lives. Being poor in spirit and through mourning, and believers will be humble and inherit the earth. The psalmist said, refrain from anger. Give up your rage. Do not be agitated. It can only bring harm. Evildoers will be destroyed, but those who put their hope in the Lord inherit the land. Psalms 37, 8 through 9. What's the nature of meekness then, if it's not all those other things? What is meekness? We find to define what meekness actually means. The Greek word here does not mean weak or timid, but it actually literally means power under control. A person lowly and gentle in spirit. This does not mean that person is without power or strength. Get a picture. You remember on the westerns that you watched on TV? You had the large crowd of horses out in the prairie land, and you saw there was a big stallion that was in the midst of it, leading and requiring that whole herd to be obedient to him. That strong, powerful stallion was captured. And it was carried in, and it was broken. A bit was put in its mouth, and a saddle was put on its back, and it worked with it until the rider had control of that. That stallion still had all that power. It still had all that strength. It still had all that ability. It still had all that man, that mankind power. But it was under control now. And when the rider required speed, it would take off. When the rider required his strength, it could be used. It was power under control. That's meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Now, the Bible gives us examples of meekness. You find Moses. Here is this guy for 40 years in Pharaoh's mansion. He killed a man, he's run out of town, he escapes to the backside of the desert, and he spends 40 years there only doing what a shepherd would do. No strength, no power, no ability, no leadership. he was just doing. And one day he walks up on a burning bush and God speaks to him. Take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. Boy, that would have been enough to drive you to your knees, wouldn't it? Then God says, Moses, I got a job for you. I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Oh, no, not me. I can't do that. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. I can't talk. All those things he was giving up. I can't. And yet when God finally got his attention and Moses said, okay, Lord, and he went back to Egypt, you find the man that stood and 10 different times that whole nation rocked as a result of the plagues that God sent at Moses' prediction. God said, I'm going to do, tell them. Moses said, if you don't, God's going to, and sure enough, it happened. The last thing you find is Moses spending 40 years in the desert leading a hard-hearted, a hard-headed people until the very last day at 120 years old. He said, I'm not going any further. Joshua's going to take you. And he went up on the mountain and went with God. That was a man that had nothing. He was a nobody. He was not anybody. He became somebody at the burning bush, and he told everybody what God wanted done. He was a meek person, but he had the power to influence a nation into existence because of God's call. Of course, another one for me that had great humility was Jesus. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, because I am lowly and humble of heart, and you will find rest from your sins, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. You see, Jesus gave that invitation. That's why the crowd was at the foot of the mountain listening to Jesus talk to the disciples, because they wanted what he had to offer, what he had to offer, what he could give to them. And that invitation to all that were laboring and heavy laden, their daily work, their daily problems, their daily sickness, their daily problems, come to me with all of your burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will not take your burden from you, but I will help you. I will join you as you deal with your burden. I will give you rest. I will not take your burden. Learn from me. That's the attitude. We often think that should be lean on me, but it's learn from me. Listen, understand, listen to what I have to say, because it will help you deal with your burdens. I will not take them, but I will share them. My burden is light. The sin of the world was upon him. What greater crushing load can a person carry than the sin of every last person that ever lived or ever would live? Just my sins were enough to kill him on the cross of Calvary. But he took everybody's sin. He said, join me in the yoke that I have. Now, you got a carpenter here that fashioned a yoke. You know what a yoke is? We often see yoke on animals like oxen or cows or other forms of animals that are placed this yoke on them, and that it's hooked to a wagon or a cart of some kind, that animal pulls the cart. It doesn't push it. It doesn't lean on it, move it. It pulls it. Jesus said, get in the yoke with me, and I will share your burden. I will pull your burden. I will help you deal with your burdens. You see, the burdens are not gone. We still have to walk through those valleys. We still have to experience the pain. We still have to live under those conditions. But Jesus is helping us. The sin of the world was upon him. He said, I am meek and humble of heart, obeying the Father, doing what the Father's will is. He went over and over again and said, the very food that I need to eat is to know the Father's will, that I can do the Father's will. My yoke, join me and doing the Father's will. You see, meekness is not a doormat, but it's a disciple. It's one that's learning. It's one that's understanding. It's a follower of Jesus. We will heed his teachings. He said, when you heed my teachings, you will do the will of the Father. That's important for us to know. If we're going to do what God wants us to do, whether it's revitalizing Pinecrest Baptist Church, or whether it's doing something in the morning that we do with our family or at the job or with our friends, we have to know what the Father wants, the Father's purpose. That's the reality, that we hear what the Father wants. And the only way you're going to know what God wants, and the only way you're going to know what God wants, is if you study his word. You know what the Bible says. I don't care what Mickey says. I don't care what any other preacher says in this land. If we contrary to what the word of God says, then you've got a problem. You just discard us. Listen to what the Bible is saying. Not your interpretation of the Bible either. Not your influence of the Bible, but what does the Bible say? That needs to become a part of our lives. We study it under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. And then we get in the yoke with Jesus and we follow what the Holy Spirit is teaching us to do. That's when the burden becomes light. That's when we can be meek, because we're working with Jesus. We're being a part of him. Our promise for meekness is very important too. Meekness will not be demonstrated, will not demonstrate you as different for others. Meekness will show you, will not show you as lazy or as indifferent. Meekness will not describe you as unproductive or useless, what we think of in our culture. Spiritual meekness leads to salvation. This is important now. Being poor in the Spirit moves you from a nobody to becoming somebody that God will use to bring him glory. That's when you can know God, you understand God, and you become obedient to God. Being a mourner will help you come to grips with your condition and discover God's wonderful comfort. By asking the right questions, listening and believing in God's answers, you will know comfort in the midst of your pain. James said, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." James 1:21. The proud reject the gospel. They don't want to hear what God has to say. We're still arguing about where the Bible can be, how the Bible can be used, what needs to be taught. I'm telling you, if you look back across your life, in the last 50, 60 years, since the Bible's been taken out of schools, we don't know what morals are anymore. They don't come to church to learn morals and understanding and the will of God. We had that opportunity when we could do it in schools, and we established the morals that are based on the teaching of God. They threw it out the window, and now anything goes. We are forcing teachers to teach things that do not help our culture one bit. In fact, it drives us further away from God. They reject the Bible. The meek receive the message of the Bible. Spiritual meekness is practical too. Meek people often make the best leaders, the best peacemakers, when they're willing to stop and listen. When they're willing to talk to somebody, rather than standing up with a bully pulpit and demanding this is the way it ought to be, we listen to one another. And then we can hear what people have to say. And we can deal with the differences in a better way than just trying to force people to do what I want them to do. The meek build bridges instead of burning them. Look at our culture today. You either like what I'm saying and what I'm doing, or you're off the list, buddy. You're gone. And it doesn't have to be in Washington for that attitude. That's here in our community. It can be in our church if we're not careful. The meek person because they've been driven by the meek person, because they're not driven by ego, will often find favor with God and favor with people. And they become a mediator. They become a messenger. That's what we're supposed to be as followers of Christ. Spiritual meekness provides a reward. To Revelation 21, we read that we will inherit a new heaven and a new earth. Those who belong to Christ, the meek, will inherit the kingdom of God. We will be joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. I've been praying about and wondering about doing a series of sermons on the crowns that will be given to the believers in heaven. The crowns that will be ours, that are a part of us getting into heaven. And the song we mentioned a while ago, singing, it mentioned that for us, the jewels and the crown. It's as if God was using Rudy to encourage me, go on, this is what I want you to do. Because the crowns come as a reward of our faithfulness to God and what God wants us to be. We don't do the things to get the rewards, but when we're what God wants us to be, we'll get rewards for that. Of course, you know as well as I do that the rewards that are given to us, we're going to give back in worship and praise to the Lord Jesus. So rather than this idea that we're going to belong to Christ, the meek will inherit the kingdom of God, we'll be joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. So whether in this life or the next, God honors and rewards meek people. They will inherit the earth. The reversal for the worldly thinking, you know. The world says be aggressive to get to the top. Be loud to be heard. Be powerful to take what you want. Meek people are peacemakers. They build relationships, not destroy them. They may not seek control, but God often gives them influence in the world that we live in. Now, look at the practice of meekness as well. What does meekness look like? We'll be in submission to God's word. We must surrender our pride and our options and our opinions and our rights and our authority to what the Bible teaches us. We must be counter to what culture is telling us. We have to study the Bible to know God's requirements. That means that we talk to God in prayer, and then we listen to God in Bible study, and we rely on the Holy Spirit to help us understand God's purpose in both of those. This is why daily Bible reading is so important, that you will hear and heed what God is saying, what's coming from God. That's how we know what God is revealing himself to us and his purposes to our life. That's one of the reasons that Billy Graham preached with so often using the powerful statement, the Bible says. It was not based on his opinion. It was not based on what he liked. It was not based on what he felt. It was based on what the Bible was saying. And millions of people came to salvation as a result of his message. You may disagree with me. You may disagree with one another. But friends, you can't disagree with God, the Lord Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. They reveal God's love. They reveal God's purpose. They reveal God's word, the Bible. Then we will have trust of God's judgment. You see, meekness trusts that God will defend and validate the followers of Jesus. You don't need to retaliate or to force outcomes. The Bible says don't repay evil for evil, but leave room for God's wrath. Romans 12, 17 through 19. God's punishment will be more and provide justice more than I can ever do. Many people operate with that motto, I don't get even, I get revenge. We have to say, God, take care of it. God, you handle it. God, you use it. Allow it to speak to our lives. You see, God says, trust me. Vengeance is mine. That's the way it was very well described in Hebrews 10, 29 through 31. then we will follow Jesus' example as well. 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. You see, Jesus was wrongly accused. He was beaten. He was crucified. And yet he responded with grace and mercy. The seven sayings of Jesus from the cross reinforces that. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. There it is. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. God, into your hands I commend my spirit. You see, those seven sayings came while he hung on the cross dying, after he had been spat upon, after he was slapped, after he was ridiculed and made fun of, after he was beat with a cat of nine tails, tried six different times in kangaroo court in just a couple of hours, misquoted, misunderstood, made to carry the cross to Calvary, and then nailed to that cross and suspended between heaven and earth and left to die. You know how you died in that way? You died through suffocation. The way he was hanging with that beating that he had, his lungs began to fill up with fluid. You know, we've talked about the death rattles in the past and how they develop and what they do to us. Jesus died by drowning in the fluid that was filling his lungs because he could not breathe deep. He could not, didn't have blood to circulate in his body. Think about that. The creator of the universe, the Lord of the world, dying that way. Ray Overholt in 1958 wrote, "They bound the hand of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They cried, 'Crucify him, he's to blame.' Upon the precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, 'Behold the King.' They struck him, they cursed him, they mocked his holy name. All alone, he suffered everything. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, 'Woman, behold your son.' And he cried, 'I thirst.' And they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not have mercy to cry. The cross of shame he took alone. When he cried, 'It is finished,' he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me." Folks, that's meekness. The power of the Creator, the power that had raised others, the powers that had healed, that had given sight, that had cast out demons, that had stilled the storm, the power to do all he did, and yet he died on a cross for you and me. When meekness is there, we'll be walking with the Holy Spirit. Meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. There is nothing that we can manufacture. Meekness produces, as meekness is produced as we abide in Christ. Paul told the church at Galatia, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The law is not against such things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Galatians 5:22 and following. If these characteristics are not in our daily life, then we must go back to God in repentance and renewal, or we must go to Calvary at the foot of the cross and ask Jesus to save us from our sins and make us his child and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' message to his disciples was, meekness or humbleness will inherit the earth. Jesus says meek, not the mighty, not the deceptive, not the deceitful, not the hypocritical, not the devious, not the cunning, the crooked, the underhanded, the scheming, the shrewd, the crafty, the two-faced, or the mean will inherit the earth. The meek will inherit the earth. Jesus said, those who are meek belong to the kingdom of God. You see, meekness is a powerful testimony. The church, in a world full of noise and self-promotion and division, meekness is a powerful testimony to the transforming grace of Jesus Christ. You see, I don't have to get even. I can trust God. And that's what Jesus said. Now, to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can walk in meekness is very important. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, then you have to become a follower of Jesus. How do you do that? We said it so many times. You have to admit that you've sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we have to admit that we've sinned. Then we have to believe that Jesus died for us. Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus of our Lord. If I get what I deserve, that would have been the cross. If I get what I deserve, it's eternity in hell. But God's offered me a gift. And all I have to do to take that gift, to know that gift, to know the eternal life, is just take it to myself. Believe. Have faith, trust in him. Then I have to confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. We were told that all you got to do is pray this little prayer for so many years. And a lot of people have spent eternity because that's all they did. They said words. There was not that confession of Jesus. There was not a life given to him in obedience, making him Lord of their lives. Jesus said we have to confess him as Lord of our life through Paul's writing to the church at Rome. Romans 10:9-10. And then I add a D. We have to dedicate ourselves to discipleship. Mark 8:34, calling to the crowd along with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is, we have to learn where he's going. We have to learn what he's doing. We have to learn how we do it. We have to give our lives in obedience to him. So we take up the cross. That instrument of death that may be mine, I take it up and I follow him. That's meekness being expressed. We give up control and we follow Jesus. Meekness will be a great blessing in your life if you will just make it a part of your life. Poor in spirit, the mourners, and the humble. That's the attitude Jesus wants us to have. Father, we pray now that you would help us understand how these can be applied to my life today, how this would be expressed in my family today, how I can do this at my job tomorrow, how I can do this at school tomorrow, how I can do this in the grocery store, the bank, the auto parts, the department store, wherever we go tomorrow, how can I express meekness so that I demonstrate Jesus to the world I live in? Hear our prayer, move in our midst, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.